You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Jesse asked an interesting question. Obviously, we were talking, basketball earlier, Kings lose last night, talking playoffs approaching, and who could elevate, like, what's like NBA star, so like a top tier player, what top tier player could elevate with a strong postseason? Like, elevate the most. Like, oh man, he might have hit a different level. Like, we thought we were seeing it with De'Aaron. It didn't happen. We did see it with Ja. Players who get that, a lot of, he's verified now. A lot of the magic of Dame Lillard happened in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty easy answer. And I got two answers, but
okay.
It's Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green.
Cade is interesting. I like Cade. So I think Jesse's original example was the best one. So
yeah, I went with Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell's kind of an NBA star purgatory right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you were to get him, because this Cleveland team can win the title, if they were to do that, I think that kind of gets him into the conversations with the Tatums and stuff. Because he's not there now, I don't think. Right now, he's kind of stuck like Jimmy Butler. He's good enough to lead a team and get through all that, but they don't get that respect.
Hmm.
I feel as being that guy. Like Jimmy Butler led a team to the finals twice, bubble and all that still. But just as far as like Tatum, like superstars, like true, like just greats of the game and all that. Hmm. Like Donovan Mitchell doesn't get his due. Like, he's not even an MVP front runner or anything like that. I guess his numbers aren't as high, but like, he impacts the game, so like, he adds wins.
You mean respect from just like general talking NBA stuff?
I guess that, but also like, if you Donovan Mitchell wins a ring, like, I think that does a lot for him, just as far as like,
oh, for sure. Like, I
don't want to say all time, but like, that elevates him to like the next level of like just superstar.
It definitely elevates him for sure.
I think he's got the most to gain from that. Like, Cade can get that later on, stuff like that. I think Donovan Mitchell's kind of the most to gain here.
Well, I don't want to, be super sports talk guy or whatever. But if Cade has an Ant-Man like run, we're talking about a new candidate for face of the league. Like, this is, he's next. Okay.
That, but I also think Cade can get there like the way SGA has. Hasn't really had too much postseason success, but like, he'll eventually be inserted in that conversation, I think. I think Cade will get there just doing what he's doing. Donovan Mitchell's kind of stuck, I feel.
Ibram Khan brings up a good point. Does a Knicks title help Brunson or Cat more? Feel like, and maybe not answering that specific question, but if the Knicks go to the conference finals, you think Cat can be elevated?
No, because he's the second guy.
But the argument might be you couldn't get there before he got there. So maybe he is the guy. And I'm assuming Cat is going crazy, right? Like, I'm not saying just like second fiddle stuff.
See,
I'm talking
Knicks,
26 and 13 a night.
I think that's fine, but I think ultimately we're still talking at the end of the day. It's Jalen Brunson is the one who's leading them at the end and stuff. Like, I don't think there's an instance where Cat is leading the Knicks to the conference finals or the finals. I don't think he's that player.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the argument would be you couldn't get there until I got there.
But I think the conversation will go towards Brunson.
If he's doing what he did last playoffs, yes.
I think there's a...
Because I'm not worried about Brunson. Like, Brunson's going to be 25 to 30 a game in the playoffs, I'm sure. If anything, you're looking for someone to help Brunson. But I don't think he has more to get. Like, I don't think it elevates him the way it would Mitchell, though. Because Mitchell's been kind of teetering, just glass ceiling almost.
I do think,
if Donovan, if the Cavs won the title,
mm-hmm.
Donovan hits a different level.
Well, whoever, so yes, whoever wins the title is who doesn't already have one
mm-hmm.
is going to elevate.
But would Cade hit the same level? Well, Detroit winning. Would Cade hit the same level Donovan does if Donovan wins?
He would. It would be more, and they would look like
they look at that Detroit title.
I think we've got the next great player in this league.
I think with this conversation, we could be a little bit more realistic about it too, because Detroit, they're not winning a title. Like, that's pie in the sky a bit. So I think the best is a run from Cade, as a second round run. How much does that elevate him, realistically? I think, looking at Donovan Mitchell, you could see him winning a title realistically and, actually, what that does for him. Cade, yeah, you could win a title, but, I don't think that's happening.
But I don't think, do you think, we can take winning a title out of this, because that just elevates you just in general.
This is like a postseason run.
World champion. Donovan makes the conference finals. Does his perception change that much?
Nope. He's the same player. I don't think anyone talks about him any differently. Even if they lose in the finals, to be honest. Yeah, I agree. I don't think anything changes.
I agree with you. So my thought is, because of that, there's only one way he can elevate. Whereas Cade might not even have to win a round. If he has a De'Aaron Fox first round.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Cade can, he can Cade's escalate. Yeah, he can escalate with a De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, it's a perfect example. De'Aaron Fox, first round loss series where it's like, whew.
Cade and Donovan might have a better follow-up.
Yeah.
So Cade and Donovan might be the biggest two, I think.
I think
Donovan hits certified level. He's almost on the cusp of it
mm-hmm.
right now. For some reason, I don't think he gets the same accolades that Dame gets, and they're kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Dame hasn't won.
Mm-hmm.
Neither has Donovan.
Well, Donovan's won more in the postseason than Dame Lillard.
Yeah,
Dame,
but doesn't it feel like Dame is more?
Dame's top 75, all that stuff.
Yeah,
that he shouldn't be, but it's just Donovan doesn't get the other. Just accolades like Dame said.
I feel like a title sends Donovan to a new level.
It does. I feel
a verified level.
I feel like, and maybe not even arguing this, but I think Dame has still been better though. He's been.
Yeah, but they're close.
They are. But to your point as well, is he's got Dame has those postseason moments as well.
He has he has a couple. He has the bye-bye. He has some big time moments. Donovan has some, but nothing like that.
Right.
I think one of his biggest moments might have been in the bubble.
Yeah.
The Jamal game. In the
bubble. Yeah, was that
was Jamal, right? 50 versus 50?
Yeah. And he had on the low, just because nobody watched it because it was NBA TV, he had moments last year against Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that game six where they were trying to close it out, he might have had, I can't remember, I thought he had 46, something like that, in a playoff moment like that. So Donovan has some moments in Utah when they were favorites, so maybe it doesn't get as much love, but they were staving off elimination. I remember specifically, I think it was against Dallas, and he brought them back. So
real quick, let me throw this one in here. I don't want to make it a big thing. If Bron gets the title, is he the GOAT for you, Casey? If he gets the title, what is this, year 40 for? I think he's 40 years old, I think, right now?
Year 20.
Year 20, but what, how old is he?
40.
He's 40.
40,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's 40.
Yeah, I mean, that'll...
What, sure. Does that do something for him?
Oh, no, because I don't think most people are
You don't think it'll change anyone's mind?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think most people are Kenny. I think Kenny would say LeBron is the GOAT for a month.
I got you.
And then he'll watch airtime and be like, hey, yo, I was watching his TikTok. Yo, Jordan was crazy.
Kenny's going to pay in Manning LeBron's last Super Bowl.
No, that's right.
We're already in the chatty house. We got Jacob, no. Dustin, no. Scooter,
no, everyone says no. Yeah. And the great thing about every Scooter, all those guys, he already is.
It's facts.
He doesn't need another one. He already is.
He's great. He's great. Like I said last week, though, when you talk about we lived them both. His highs aren't as high as Mike. And take for that whatever you want to. But Mike reached a level that nobody else has ever reached. And LeBron has longevity, and he's got that argument. Like, I'm doing this at this age. But the peak of powers, Mike was stupid.
Maybe.
Mike was stupid on both sides.
20-year run.
He does. He ain't never won no defensive player of the year.
You said it, though. No one's going to change their mind.
That's what I'm talking
about. Everyone in the chat is already, yeah. Everyone's got their answers.
That's what I'm talking about. It's a two-person conversation.
Move on.
Yeah, it's always going to be.
Everybody's got their own
little. Always going to be
their own little thing, though, too. Well, when you talk about, like, those GOAT conversations. Like, I could talk about Mike's peak. We could talk about LeBron's longevity.
Gave us Brian Windhorst.
Yeah. LeBron gave us Brian Windhorst longevity. You know, we talked last week about Kobe from, like, 05 to 08 was, like, the perfect basketball player. Mm-hmm. Like, it got their own stuff. Kareem is the
Kobe's
winner.
Where I'm really struggling right now, because for some reason I started looking at stuff that the last time, and I was like, I think Kobe might be 3 and Wilt might be 4.
Well, and then we got Wilt just doing crazy.
I mean, not
stuff.
Wilt, Kareem.
Oh, Kareem. Say Kareem Erasure.
Kareem, yeah. Yeah, I got Kareem, because I'd always like Kareem. Kareem probably deserves more respect for the one. Mm. And I looked a little closer. I was like, oh, maybe not.
The thing I've always said about Kareem and Wilt and guys like that is they were so reliant on other guys to get them the ball.
Yeah.
Being big guys.
who was that? Somebody, I don't know who it was. He wasn't a random guy. He was an NBA guy. Mm-hmm. Tweeted some stat about Kareem and points and turnovers. And then tweeted LeBron's points and turnovers. Of course, LeBron's got like 3,000 more turnovers. And it was like, sir, Kareem was never asked to bring the ball up the floor or facilitate the offense. The fact that Kareem has 2,000 turnovers is probably a crime.
It's not the flex you think it is.
No. I think you did this wrong. But, you know, people I'm all for trying to make a point to hype up Mike, Kobe, Kareem, whatever. Like, doing it in a weird way to disparage LeBron is odd.
My grandmother, she used to always and maybe this is what I do with the GOAT. She used to always, you know, talking about her grandchildren, and they were like, who's your favorite? It was me, of course. Nice. But like, who's your favorite grandchild? She's like, Kenny is my favorite oldest grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
And Chanel is my favorite oldest granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin is my favorite youngest grandson. And that's it. That's how you do it. You just find these caveats. So peaks, longevity, overall championships.
Michael's the greatest player to ever GM the Washington Wizards. Greatest to ever do it.
Trying to think of Tommy Shepard.
LeBron James.
Well, did you see Tommy Shepard?
Yeah.
Did you see him?
I did.
You saw him at the shootout?
I did.
I don't think Mike was stopping that. I don't think Mike was stopping that. That boy at the shootout went crazy.
All right. So, well, he's not even the great. So he's the greatest player to ever own the Bobcats / Hornets.
Shout out to everyone that was grandma's favorite, by the way.
Bruh, I was her favorite. No disrespect.
I was absolutely my grandparents' favorite.
No
disrespect. I was
on
my grandma's phone wallpaper, and my cousin changed it to him, and my grandma changed it back to me. Shout out to Grandma Cruz.
Oh, that's fire.
Well, I have my back.
Like, man, no disrespect to the cousins, man. Come on.
All disrespect. All disrespect. We're the favorites out here.
We know the vibes, man. I was the favorite. That don't mean she didn't love you. I was just the favorite, all right? It's cool. It's cool. It's all good. I was the one, though.
You introduced Sean John to the West Coast.
Well,
by buying it at a store that was in Sacramento, California.
Once again, nobody was wearing it. Nobody. I'd catch the 61. I'd catch the 62. I'd catch the 67 at Arden Mall. I'd, you know, be on the 81 going to Forum Mall. I was all around. And I'd be looking. And it was just me and Mike. Not saying it wasn't available to anybody. I ain't saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we was the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
Or the first ones, I should say.
First ones. It's big time.
You had it in 96?
I couldn't afford it in 96, bro.
Did you
I wasn't
know what
rich
it was
like
in
you. I wasn't born into wealth the way that you were. 96, I was still very, very poor.
Can you have all the cool video games or what?
I think we started to kick out of it.
Since you had all the cool video games or what?
I mean, I was a spoiled. I was the only child. Me and my mom.
See?
I was spoiled.
Poor.
I'm not going to say that. But I'm not going to deny that. But I had all the video games I wanted. All I wanted was the new basketball game and Madden. That's it. I don't need all them other ones. Just when Christmas comes around, those are the two games I'm asking for.
See, my very first, Jesse, my very first Jordan outfit, my very first pair of Jordans, I got from the Jordan brand because I was hosting an event where everyone had to be fitted out. It was the first KSFM event I ever hosted, that Jordan truck.
That's fire.
That's me fire. And Mike Bibby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Because I couldn't afford it. So they gave it to me.
I remember they got these Jordans.
I remember it was too good. It was white with blue. Oh, it was cold. I'd wear it today. It was so cold.
Should bring it back. Where it at?
Sir, that thing long gone.
Right. Understandable.
I played a middle school basketball game with some Jordan 1s one time. I got them passed down from a family member. Should have knew that. I didn't care about shoes.
I had the shoes I had. One time, my mom's boyfriend, shout out Barry, he bought me my first pair of Jordans. Surprised me on Super Bowl Sunday. It was the second Cowboys-Bills game. And I'm sitting there waiting for the game to come on. He's like, oh, I got you these. I'm like, what? Oh, the Jordan 9s. And then I played in some XJ900s when we were going to L.A. for the state tournament for NJB. And they were like the Jordan 10s. They were the XJ900 version of the Jordan 10s. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? You see what I got out here? It looked just like them. It looked just like them. And that was it. Had some Air Ups. Had some Deons. Played in some Deons. And, yeah. That was about it.
My first pair of shoes that I got were really popping. They were like, oh, no, these shoes are a big deal. Are the Grant Hill. Fila's. And the fact that I was able to afford those, I think they were like $70.
Yeah, it was a good price point.
And the Pac had them on the All Eyes on Me album sleeve.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't tell me nothing, man.
Don't talk to me. Nothing. I think I wore those. I might have worn those longer than Grant Hill's career. I wore those till Grant was a Phoenix Sun. I wore those so damn long.
You know what's pretty cool? I ain't trying to gatekeep, so I'll tell people. But you know what's pretty cool is right now, obviously, the shoes are, we talked about earlier, like the little running casual shoes, right? Like the Vomeros and New Balance, this and that, or whatever. Certain Walmarts, they have those New Balances for $20. Because, like, traditionally, it was like, not traditionally, but like in the last 5 years, like, oh, don't nobody want no New Balances. We put them at Walmart, you know, for $15, $20. Now that shoe is hot. And so far, it's still at Walmart for like $20.
Mm-hmm.
And Reese was showing me like TikToks of this guy just, oh man, I found these here, man. Oh yeah, I got a cop.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
So Reese keeps saying like, yo, we got to go to Walmart, man. Come on, stop playing with me.
Stuff that wasn't cool and that you would have got made fun of for back then for wearing, I feel like it's like now that stuff is cool now.
Bro, braces is that.
Well, I feel like everything is like style has been more embraced more as individual rather than like collective.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like everyone has just a.
Because like that Champion stuff, like the little the local Champion brand with the joints, C or yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, people mm-hmm. back then, like, I don't know how many people wore that, but like now. Or,
yeah, it's
or
hot a few now. Months,
yeah, yeah. Now it's cool.
Bro, like I said, the braces are it. Braces for like these middle school, high school kids. That's cool. The metal joints are cool. Mm-hmm. Like, they got people that don't need braces. I saw some TikTok or Instagram reel about a year ago where the kids don't need braces. They go to the dentist. This, I'm not giving you, you don't need braces. They're applying them on yourself.
Oh, I've seen that. It's like, yeah, no.
Wait, the kids are putting the braces on themselves?
Yeah, because it's cool. Like, they want braces.
Something about...
They don't need them either. So, it's... Yeah. It's a different time.
Hey, could you imagine showing up to high school and getting made fun of because you don't have braces?
But you with your straight ass teeth.
Look at him and his perfect teeth.
We'll come back. Jason Jones joins us. We'll talk with the professor, our guy over at The Athletic. Jason Jones next here. We're dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I think one of the, we were talking wrestling during the break. I know that's really surprising. I think one of the big things with Netflix was it can be live no matter where they are. So it's, is it Belgium next week?
So yeah, one of those spots, yeah.
So, you know, what if the time has live at 12 o'clock out here, like, yeah, that's what they'll be. We'll be watching it at the start of the show.
Or Monday Night Raw watch along.
That's it.
Just like the Olympics.
Jason Jones set to... Oh, that was fun, though.
That was.
That was a blast watching that... it wasn't the gold medal game. Yeah, the semifinal game. Watching that.
I was trying to do the radio show and not like watch it at the same time.
Yeah, watching that live together was great. Shout out to my boy. I think it was Chris Watkins. I swear he was talking football. We went back and watched it later, and my man was talking football. It's like, oh, Steph Curry. Steph Curry hit another shot. We got a game up here. So the 49ers, if they, like, man, I could never. Like, I just can't.
That would have been too difficult.
I can't be a professional this
way. What do you want me to do?
Like, I
USA's
cannot,
playing right
I
now.
I cannot be a professional
They're
right now.
They're down 15 in the fourth quarter.
Amazing. Oh, man. Absolutely amazing. Doug Christie had an interesting line last night. He said, you know, he's, you know, talking about getting better, the Kings getting better, things that they got to do to get better. He said, the airplane is in the air, but we're fixing it while we're flying. Mm. And it's like, boy, that explains some of the things going on in this country.
That's great.
But I got his analogy. Like, we're in the air.
Yeah.
We're trying to get to the destination, but we hit a bird. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we don't have no Captain Sully to land this joint, so we got to try to fix this thing while we're up here.
Yeah.
And, you know, a wheel breaks. That's Domas going out. Mm. You know, a landing gear got jammed. That's Malik going out. Mm. It's like, we still got to land the plane in our destination. I thought that was a great analogy.
That is a great analogy. And that's tough, man. That is tough to do. And, you know, I think those things should get factored in when you talk about this team. And I know, you know, everything that goes on is like a blame type thing. You got to blame somebody or blame the front office or the coaches or the players or whoever. Sometimes it just kind of is what it is. And... like, we got to take that into account. You know, maybe this team isn't terrible. Maybe they're not, you know, just a 500 team. But with everything going on, yeah, that might be who they are this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they've had a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to make it into the playoffs, I think we would be talking about this as like, wow, this is a, I don't want to say a special team. But salute to this team. Like, we would be praising them for everything they had to do just to get to that point.
Yeah.
And if they don't win or if it's not consistent enough, I don't think it should be forgotten what they've had to go through. And it's tough. It's tough.
I don't mean to take away from anyone, but is it salute Doug Christie at this point? Like, the front office messed this up. Mike Brown messed this up. The whole De'Aaron Fox stuff was messy. But Doug Christie, like, he's, like, with Fox here, they got better. After Mike Brown got fired, they got better with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you trade De'Aaron Fox, and it's like, oh, what are we going to see now? And they're still playing good ball. Like, my biggest takeaway from all this isn't like, oh, yeah, the front office was able to fix this or, like, now they got the right players. Like, Doug Christie can coach. Like, he's a damn good coach. Like, you throw him in any situation, whether it be the first or the second, like, he's got him going. Like, mm-hmm. Doug Christie saved the season, I feel.
I'm with that. I'm with that for sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
I also think – I don't think trading De'Aaron Fox was that big of a deal.
Mm. Mm.
I think the thing that, that comes with trading a franchise player, though.
You're right. No. 100%. that feels like shit. It's not. Mm-hmm. Like, he's good. Mm-hmm. He's very good. He's not irreplaceable.
I'm with you. And we got Jason Jones.
Bring our man Jason Jones.
But I do want to say this, because and like I said, I'm not trying to cape for the front office, but I'm the same person that thought they had enough to win 52 games was the floor. I can say that I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And people talk about the front office all the time, and they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Bro, we were here. We were here. We were sitting in these seats. We were taking these calls. We were having interviews. None of you were trading Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. Not one of you.
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm not yelling at you. But I'm saying, like, we got to be real with ourselves, TC. Like, none of you were. So, oh, you didn't go out and get better. You didn't have a plan. You didn't go get this person. Keegan Murray was the one that was going to get you there. It was going to get you Siakam. It was going to get you OG. And all of you said no.
That's a little unfair.
Except me. I said if it's an impact guy, you got to trade him.
Jason Jones said F Keegan Murray.
I'm just saying. I mean, hey, that was just my thought. I was like, I didn't know who that player would be, but I said if it was going to be a difference maker, like a guy who kept you in the top four in the West, top three, you trade Keegan expeditiously.
I understand.
To me, that was with the idea that your two best players are Fox and Sabonis, and you're getting a third legit, like, big-time guy to go with him, those two.
And
obviously, things are a lot different now, but that was my thinking for the last couple of years, that if you can get, like, a all-star, you know, it's nice knowing you, Keegan, but, you know, hey.
And I understand that. And I'm here to tell you, I was hesitant to trade Keegan. I was one of the people like, nah, I don't want to do the contract where he's at, where I think he could be. Nah, I'm not sure. Like, that was the consensus. I'm not going to say there was everybody in, but that was the consensus. Nah, I don't want to trade Keegan. He's this great two-way player, all this other stuff. And Dame, one of the things you would know, it's not for every potential situation, but damn near all of them, Keegan was the one that had to go. That's who was being asked for. And everybody, so when they're like, you didn't go out and get this person, how you guys can't have it both ways. You can't say you didn't go out and get this person, but the person that was going to get you who you wanted, you didn't want to trade. And then when you don't do it, and Keegan don't develop the way you thought it would, or things don't work out, these guys just suck. Like, people be talking on both sides of their mouth.
What was this in response to?
Oh, Matt George.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't know what I walked into.
I don't even know how we got here.
I mentioned that because I said Matt George was like, no, stop. And they were like, yeah, preach. Don't give them no passes, the front office and all this other stuff.
And I was like, we
got to be real. Like, you can't say you want it. For what you guys wanted, it was going to take Keegan more times than not. And you guys said you didn't want to trade him. So I know it's on brand right now, and it's fashionable to blame the front office, but how are you going to blame them for moves that you wouldn't even have done? That's all I'm saying.
They're going to say, well, they should know better. Why they listen to us?
No, there's that. Proper introduction. Jason Jones from The Athletic is with us. Just yelling about the Kings and Keegan Murray.
Everyone loves potential. Potential is the biggest, like, finesser in all of sports. Like, what he could be. And like I said, it was, to me, when I watched Keegan the first couple of years, I saw a good player. I did not see a superstar, which is why I was like, if you can get a star for him, you trade him. But, you know, I understood, because my thinking was also this. If you're going to have De'Aaron as a max player and essentially Sabonis as a max player, how comfortable would you be in a year or whatever, two, whatever it was going to be, making Keegan Murray a max player?
Mm.
And if he's not that, you have to at least. I just didn't buy the notion that Keegan Murray should be untouchable. And I think a lot of people were like, he's not untouchable. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, that's not like young Ant Edwards, or, you know, that's not Jason Tatum right there as a young, you know, I'm like, he's not untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a large group of people who were very vocal that Keegan Murray should be untouchable. And to me, that was where I always thought it was weird. Like, what are y'all seeing that I'm missing where you can't trade him to get better?
I think there's a lot of it's and you said it. You said it perfectly. It's why football fans are really hyped right now. It's free agency. This is going to happen at draft time. It's the potential of what your team can be. It's why people get excited about, you know, draft prospects. It's the potential. The trade deadlines, same thing. What would so-and-so potentially look like? What sort of potential could he have as a wing who could defend on Sacramento? Oh, my God. That's all we talk about in those times of year, and that's what so many people, like, hang their hope on. I think that's what the front office was hanging their hope on, potential. Mm-hmm. We see growth in Keegan Murray. You know, you talk about OG Anunoby, you talk about Pascal Siakam and whatever those discussions look like, both of them would have had to have ended in massive contract extensions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but we kind of like Keegan. We like the direction he's going. I don't think this is a move we can make. We're more confident in our young fella. That just hasn't – Keegan's very – Keegan's good. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's paid off in the way that they expected yet, especially going into potential contract negotiations. But he regularly shows signs of, like, yeah, Keegan's he has qualities to him that this team desperately needs.
Yeah, and it may end up helping them in the long run because he may, you know, I wouldn't max him out, but maybe you can sign him to a 4-year deal that's a little bit more manageable and give you a little more flexibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it may help him in the long run, but, you know, like I said, my whole thing was just that I didn't feel like he should be an untouchable player. Like, it was like, oh, the idea. I mean, for God's sake, De'Aaron got traded. If De'Aaron can get traded, you know, Keegan could have gotten traded. I mean, and De'Aaron was further along, you know, obviously in his career at this point. But I'm just saying, and, you know, to me, I just didn't understand the whole we can't, you know, there's no way that guy can, you know, get moved. I'm like, yeah, you can. It's possible. You know, for the right move. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys get traded. I mean, for God's sake, Wilt Chamberlain got traded, Kareem got traded, Shaq got. Anybody can get traded.
Hmm. Yeah, this is fact.
Luka got traded. I'm not sure if you heard this, James, Jason.
Well, I've heard a little bit about that. I'm not sure how that's turning out for them, though. I'm not sure what that. You know, heard Dallas is struggling right now.
Looks a little different without the King out there, though.
Yeah, Luka just out here cursing King, out people on the baseline.
Yeah, when you're down three starters, it is a little different. Well, yeah.
Hey, what did you? Are we willing to? And I don't. I think you got some jokes off. You did get some jokes off. Are we collective in our acknowledgement that J.J. Redick's a good coach?
I am. I am.
Okay.
Like I said I had always heard that he could be a good coach. Mm-hmm. I did not like the fact that he had a podcast with the team's number one player, and it just looked crazy. Mm-hmm. But he can coach. Mm-hmm. He's a little diabolical, which is what, you know. So I know. Yeah, I mean, I know folks will be hesitant to give, you know, a Laker coach credit, but, you know, JJ's coaching. And I always said, even in past years, when you had a LeBron and AD, there was no reason for you to be playing in the play-in every year.
Mm-hmm.
That made zero sense to me. I don't care how flawed the roster is. You know, at the worst, you got two of the top 15 players in the league, and you're seventh. Mm. They were never that bad. Yeah. Like, were they a title team? No, but they should have not have been, you know, having to beat New Orleans to get into the playoffs last year. Yeah. So I felt they had a major coaching deficit, as we've chronicled, you know. I think you got to give JJ his props. I mean,
yeah.
They've played over the, you know, the way he's gotten them to buy in on defense, you know, the way he holds them accountable, you know, because he's basically on the third iteration of this team now, just this year. And they've gotten better over the course of the year as opposed to getting worse, you know, with all the trades. And I mean, it's pretty disruptive, you know, to trade, you know. You look at their starting lineup from night one to where it is now. I mean, AD's gone, D'Lo's gone. You know, and then you kind of just reflip this whole roster. You go from Jackson Hayes was a guy who couldn't get on the court. Now he's got to be your starting center. Mm-hmm. And somehow, you know, Jackson missed a couple of games now, but he's made that work, as opposed to, you know, come out, you know, when we get this guy back, when we get that guy back, he's making it work, even though they laid an egg last night. Still where they are overall in the last, what, 6-8 weeks, you know, I think, you know, you got to give JJ his props.
Yeah, he's a good coach, man. He's doing his thing. He's absolutely doing his thing. I want to ask you a question about the Kings and kind of what they're they got going on. So you saw what happened on Sunday night. Just a heartbreaker at the Intuit Dome. 24 hours later, you get beat up by the Knicks. Are they related at all? Like, do you think because of, in part, not completely, you know, tied together, but in part, having that overtime, tough emotional loss on Sunday set them up for a position where, at the very least, what happened on Monday wasn't surprising? Do you think they're kind of related in a way?
I think so. You got a few things to me in play. You got the three games in four nights. Yeah, Friday, Sunday, Monday. You've got whether they Friday was an emotional game. You know, then you go down to L.A., lose in overtime, you know, emotional game. And then you come back because the Knicks didn't play on Sunday, did they?
No, they were at the Sawyer.
And that's always a trap when you're the team sitting at home, sitting in someone's city, waiting for them to come back home. You play overtime. They're rested. They've been chilling, watching. Yeah, that's always a tricky situation. So I think all that plays into it, and then you know you get what you got last night. So I mean, it's maybe the final score might have been kind of like a wow, but the fact they would lose that game to me is not crazy. I mean, that you know you the moment you know like I said you add all that emotion, you know, kind of just. You know how draining that can be, you know, and then you got Twitter doing random investigations over who's mad at who and who's talking to who on the court side, and you know all that stuff comes together, and then you know, hey, and even without Brunson, you know the Knicks have some good players. Mm-hmm. So you know, but I know you're a Knicks fan too, right? So you should.
Relax. I'm a Knicks supporter. Oh. I'm not a Knicks fan.
Hey, how are you a Lakers, Knicks, and Kings guy?
I don't have anything to do with the Lakers. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't have anything to do with them. Now, the Kings are my number one.
Throw Draymond in there. You just, man, front running.
Will you stop it? The Kings are my number one. I support the Knicks when they're not playing the Kings. I support them. That's all it is.
And the Lakers, you just go to their parades.
No, I don't go to their parades at all. I don't like the Lakers at all.
He just poses in front of Laker monuments.
Jason, I wish you guys would stop
with
this
narrative.
Who's
been to more championship parades for the Los Angeles Lakers, Jason or you?
Oh, definitely Kenny. I've never been to one.
What are you talking about? I've never been to one myself.
Wow. You didn't tell a story about being in a championship parade?
That was not the Lakers championship parade.
What was it?
That was a hood parade.
Were they celebrating the hood or were they celebrating a Lakers championship?
They were celebrating the Lakers.
You were
hood.
At a Lakers championship parade.
It was like
then.
At 10 o'clock at night.
I wasn't there. I
it was like at
10 no
o'clock
invite.
At night. I took a wrong turn, and that's where I ended up
and
being.
And you wound up in a Laker
you got
parade.
Out car wow. Party with him, huh? Yeah.
Wow.
No, you more didn't get out the car at all.
Laker Nation than I am. Look at this, man. I'm hurt.
He told the story. He's honking the horn and going, leg show, leg
well,
show.
Hey, look, man, I was right off the 10.
They gave him right a car flag and everything.
I had, no car flag, but like I said, I was right off the 10. I was over there by SC. I just had to get out of there.
So he had to be a Laker fan. Wow, sold his soul.
I wasn't a fan. I just had to get out of there.
Sold his soul to the Crips, man. Goodness gracious. Wow, Jason never did it, but.
Yeah, man, yeah. And I'm born in LA.
You never went to a Laker parade?
No, I was I was a kid in the 80s, and then I lived up here from 96 on. Mm. So, as much as I can be a big fan or whatever, I'm in no way interested in spending money to go stand in a crowd when I can just that's never been something I'm like, you know, my bucket list things to do was to go to the parade.
Mm. What NBA superstar do you think could benefit the most? Like a guy who's already a star, what NBA star do you think could hit a different level if they have a big postseason run this year?
That's a good one. I mean, you look around. I mean, because there's different factors into that. I think
we had a couple. I'll give you a couple examples we had. One was Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham having a big outing in Detroit could him up a tier and you know give Detroit obviously a lot of respect. And then on a different plane is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland wind up pulling this thing out. Man, they could wind up like Donovan starts to, Donovan becomes verified. I don't think he's considered like on the Dame Lillard tier yet. I think people talk about him a notch below.
Cleveland gets to the finals, Donovan Mitchell's there. I mean, even though he probably would be, they're talking about Donovan Mitchell Hall of Famer.
Mm.
I good. Think Donovan's been good for a while, but in terms of the postseason, he's, you know, I think, you know, the best seasons they, you know, it wasn't all on him, but was the year they won 61 games, and that's when Ty Lue decided to make Rudy Gobert defend the corner three, and he just would not leave the paint, and they lost that series.
That's when he really was playoff P. Paul George led him to the conference finals.
Yeah, man, that was the, you know, he's not doing, he out there getting booed on Monday Night Raw now today. Or was that SmackDown he got booed? That was sad. But I think, I'm thinking, you know, because, I mean, some of it, I think, that's a good one. I'm just trying to go through who's, you know, who, I think in some ways Shea could, because I still think a lot of people don't really know a lot about Shea.
Yeah.
And if, you know, then even last year they lost in the second round. If they make a deep run, it's going to be because he's averaging like 35 a game. And I think that could be a thing that could, you know, elevate him where you go beyond known by the basketball heads to known by everybody. I know basketball folks have known about Shea for years, but I'm walking down the street to, you know, casual person. You mentioned Shea Gilgeous Alexander. They're like, who? So I could see that, but I think Donovan's a good one. Probably along them lines, Mobley could, you know, would probably take a big leap. Because, I mean, like, you know, guys like Mobley and Cunningham are all-stars. But, I mean, this year's all-star game, do you even remember who made the team? I mean, it was such a weird format. So it's like you were an all-star, but who really remembers? But I think those guys could benefit greatly. I'm trying to think about somebody in the West. I mean, like I said, Shea, and you start going down. I think Ja Morant could help reshape his image.
Go on.
That, I mean, you know, kind of like a redemption story. Remember, you know, he wasn't there last year, all that. I think that could, because, I mean, we haven't talked a lot about Ja this season, and that's probably good. Because for the last 2 years, talking about Ja normally meant Instagram and a weapon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
This year it involves him being on the bench and injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's probably still better than, I guess, the alternative. But then if you go to the easy, lazy way, if the Lakers or the Knicks make a run, someone on that team is going to become way more valued than they actually are probably. Mm. Then some team is going to pay them a whole lot of money. It's going to be that effect of like, wow, you saw what he did as a Knick? Mm. You know, so – that could easily happen on one of those two teams.
I put Cat in that category. If they were to make a conference finals or an NBA finals, I know people look at Brunson as being the guy, but it may be one of those situations where they look at it and they say, hey, Cat came here, he averaged 25 and 13 in these playoffs, and he's the one that elevates you and puts you over the top.
Cat's just funny, though, too, I think. Yeah, you know, the way his voice changes so much.
Oh, my God, call the foul!
I was watching them. They played the Lakers. I told someone, I said, every time Cat is in the post, it looks like he says ouch when someone hits him. The way he just contorts his body. He's like, ah! Like, he's just like... I could honestly hear him saying ouch. Like, ouch, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, but Cat would all of a sudden become the best, the greatest center since Willis Reed if they got to the finals. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, they'd try to put him past Pat Ewing.
They would. They definitely would.
I know you'd fight that vehemently.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it's oddly enough, I didn't like the Knicks at that time because they was going against my boy Mike. But looking back, you know, I like those Pat Riley Knicks. I like those Knicks.
Yeah, they just out there. Imagine that trying to fly in 2025, them Pat Riley Knicks.
Man.
What?
Whole team suspended.
I got to update Jason, though. Cal, Virginia Tech, first round of the ACC tournament. They're going to overtime after Cal went scoreless for the final 3:10 of the game to lose a 6-point lead. They're going to overtime.
What are they, the Kings or something?
Go Bears. Still go Bears.
Can I point out the ridiculousness of the sentence you just uttered?
What's that?
Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament.
It is very ridiculous. Very ridiculous.
Yeah, my girl went to like this UCLA gymnastics thing against Stanford, and she was completely confused because she was like, this is not a Pac-12. This is like the Big Ten against the, I said, no, Stanford's in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why? I'm like, none of us know why. This is what it is. Because
everyone is stupid. That's why.
No, yeah.
And greedy.
Yeah. Like, well, I think the Cal women's team was like on their fourth cross country trip of the season.
That's crazy.
I can imagine what their record might be if they'd have to go all the way to the East Coast four or five times a year.
I remember, I think it was Pat Cronin was like complaining about like the road trips, like being in the Big Ten. He's like, yeah, we go on the cross country road trips. Like, we got to go to New Jersey and Maryland and all this other stuff. Those guys go cross country. They come to L.A. Like, that's not a penalty. That's not anything you got to deal with. Like,
and they don't have to do it multiple times.
Yeah.
It's not like UCLA at SC. Well, then SC deserves it because they asked for this, you know. But they don't do like a six-game college road trip where you just go, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Illinois, and come home. Born, you know, that's wild.
Oh man, yeah, I hate this. I hate this.
It's really killed my interest in college sports. It's really killed my interest because I'm just like, I mean, as cool as it sounds, I really don't care to get all amped up for my school playing in the ACC. Like, they'll play, you know, they play Duke and North Carolina, but I don't really care about them playing Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Tim Duncan's not there. So I don't really care.
Randolph Childress is not there. You're not walking through those doors.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
More impactful trade to close out this NBA season. Just this season, not the future. Luka Doncic and the Lakers, Jimmy Butler and the Warriors.
This season, I'm going to say Jimmy because I think that team was going to miss the playoffs without Jimmy.
Mm.
I think they were a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
So I not so much who's the better team, but in terms of I thought the Warriors were just not a good team. I just felt like they got off to a good start and they just kind of leveled off to what they actually were, which was going to be a 9-10, you know, play-in team. So I'll go with that. Also, you add to the fact that Kuminga was out, so he just steps in. I don't know what they're going to do with Kuminga. Of course, he's coming back against the Kings, you know, because you know,
for sure. Well, who else would he be?
No, I would just lean to, because I think the Lakers, even without the trade, were going to be in the top four probably. Mm. You know, top. That's where they kind of were already. Mm. But I think the Warriors, you know, they are going to make the playoffs almost for sure now. You know, with the addition of Jimmy, you know, because even if they somehow end up in seven, I think they're not going to lose back to back games with, you know, with Jimmy and Steph in a play-in situation. Mm.
Yeah, I think Jimmy's impact has just energized that team. Like, obviously, what he's doing defensively, and he has some numbers to that. But I mean, Steph and those guys, they feel like they have a shot every night because they got a guy like Jimmy out there, as opposed to what was going on before. Do you look at them as a championship contender?
No.
Hmm.
No.
I'm with you.
No.
I don't.
I mean, if they were to play a seven-game series, I would take OKC over them in a series, even though it's tricky because Steph is still Steph. For, you know, to me, that's the biggest guy who got re-energized. You know, he's still Steph.
Yeah.
But for me to go all the way to championship, that's still – I can't go championship just at this point, you know. But Steph is, you know, still Steph. We'll see how they work Kuminga back in, but you know, would they say beat? You know, there'll be a tough out, but you know, I'm thinking if Minnesota is healthy, I think Minnesota would beat them in a series.
Hmm.
I think OKC could beat them in a series. I think the Lakers could beat them in a series. So I think I can't go championship just yet, but it's still scary, though, because I wouldn't want to draw Steph in the first round the way he's been playing. Man's taking 35-foot turnaround jump threes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I would want no parts of that right now.
I'm just ready for him to retire.
I think a lot of people. I'm like, dude, you're 30. Man,
a lot of fan bases are. A lot of fan bases are fed up.
You've won championships. You've got a wonderful family. Go spend time with your wife and kids. Why do you want to keep playing basketball?
Yeah, why do this?
You don't need the money, Steph. You know, just go ahead and enjoy your life.
The money, Steph. You don't need the headache. Like, you don't need to deal with Draymond. Go relax.
Yeah, you don't want to do this anymore, Steph. Yeah. You know,
on top of that,
live life. You know, go work at Davidson. Do what you're doing. You know,
yeah, general manager.
Help the Howard Golf. You know, you got a lot of outside ventures at this point, Steph. You don't need basketball.
Yeah,
that would be my message to Steph Curry if I was, you know, not a Warrior fan.
And on top of that, leave $300 million on the table. Who needs?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need it. You know me. I'm one to make sure to tell people how much money they need. So yeah, Steph, what do you need that money for? Go ahead. You got generational wealth. Your brother played in the NBA. Your dad did. You guys aren't broke.
What did we clock him at? Like, he gonna get like $70 million?
Yeah, I think so. So a year? I thought it was like 75.
Was it 75?
Yeah,
it's something crazy. It's
like, I think the last year of his deal like brushes the 80.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
You know, let's go ahead and retire, Steph. No one, you don't deserve this headache. You don't want to travel anymore.
Steph gonna make more money than Michael Jordan did in his career, like his last year in the league.
Dude, these contract numbers gonna get crazier and crazier. And, you know, it's like you're gonna have more old players complaining about what these guys have. You know,
didn't Mike sign 1 year for $30 million?
Yeah,
am I making
like
that up?
Yeah,
I thought it was like 32.
I think the way it worked out, he made all his like big money like in the last 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Yeah, because you know he was the greatest bargain in sports history. That's almost criminal. What they between that and that crazy like 6 year, 30, whatever they gave Pippen. They jacked Pippen. Yeah. Locked him up in that dang near like a mid-level exception type deal. I respect the gangster of the Bulls. They straight was like, we gonna give Scotty like $3 million a year.
Scotty the Batman.
He got the equivalent of new editions record deal.
Yeah, but Scotty looking around and watching all these other guys just get paid, and he's like, I got like 9 years left on this deal, though.
And Scotty signed a lifetime contract with
the cool part about it was they didn't trick him.
Well,
they offered him the contract, and he said, sure, I'll sign it. All right, Scotty.
And we wonder why Scotty went broke. Scotty didn't go broke because he blew his money. Scotty got broke because he didn't have any money.
Scotty hitting up Scott Pippen Jr. like, hey man, let me hold something, man.
Didn't Scotty sign a $100 million deal?
No.
With Portland?
No.
80?
It wasn't 100. Hey, he's the one
Scotty
of the guys who got
is 66.
66.
At the end.
Scotty. Is this right? Scotty played 13 years with the Chicago Bulls. I don't know why I'm laughing. Like, I can even like imagine what having this much money is like. Scotty played 13 years for the Chicago Bulls and made $32 million.
Wow. Wow.
In his career.
Oh, poor Scotty.
We could do it now. In his career, 18 years for Scotty Pippen. Any unofficial guesses? Unofficial.
93.
Unofficial guesses here. 18 60. Years. Jesse, how much? Scottie Pippen, 18 years.
I'll go like 110.
Unofficial. Jason Jones, 18 years for Scottie Pippen.
60 mil.
Ladies and gentlemen, $109.9 million.
I just threw that one to the wind.
Jesse's on a roll right now.
No, he ain't on no roll. I just threw
it. He missed it by like 500,000.
I just shot a half-court shot because it wasn't even a game. It was like,
he actually missed it by 43,000. Man.
Yeah, he got all that from Portland probably.
He did. He got $66.3 million from Portland. Yeah, he got $11 million with Houston.
He made up for it after, you know, the Bulls got him, you know, on a hometown, like, discount times 10.
What, Larsa running around on the Potomac, the poorest one out there. Is it Potomac? I don't know which one she's
on. That was one of the greatest parts of The Last Dance. So there was like, we Scotty mad, but we tell him to sign that contract.
They did me dirty.
Like, we don't know why he did it.
They did me dirty. Did he just offered the contract.
Bro, you that's your name, right? Like they're holding up the contract. Scottie Pippen.
I'm like, I don't know who his agent was.
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering the same thing.
I'm like, didn't anyone have the foresight to go, you know what, Scottie? They like literally paid him like he was just another guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, you know, we got to go make sure, you know, yeah, that's one of the going to be go down as one of the wildest contract things ever. Like certifiably top 75 player in NBA history on one of the, on a team friendly deal so they can go get Tony Kukoc.
Mike made $60 million, $63 million in his last 2 years with Chicago. $30 million and $33.1 million. So $60 million in his last two. That leaves 13 years that made Mike about $33 million. Wow.
No, well, man. Times you know, have changed. We all have our struggles, you know. You know, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. That's okay. I'm enjoying this narrative that the Niners are getting rid of everybody to give Brock Purdy like $900 million. My favorite thing to read.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Read something else because you just asked me. They're getting rid of him because all these guys are washed.
Whatever. I don't care about facts when it's Niner tears involved. I don't care about facts. I just like – I'm enjoying the laughing.
We got –
we can't cut Jake Moody?
Oh, now that angers me.
That's my favorite that one. You're cutting everybody except Moody.
That pisses me off.
Jay, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Oh, real quick, are you Geno Smith? We hyped Geno and
thumbs down.
It's a thumbs up because did you see who they had playing quarterback last couple of years?
No, that's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, at least he can like he's funky. He can like function and like move and you know maybe the you know yeah yeah. I'm not mad at all. You basically traded Davante Adams for him because you used that Jets pick. So it's like, yeah, I can dig it. You know, I don't like them losing some of the guys they lost on defense. But, you know, hey, you know, if they won four games last year, who am I? I'm not fooling myself.
Jay, we appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right, y'all. Take it easy.
All right. We got Gonzaga and St. Mary's coming up at 5:45. Appreciate you being with us here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gales.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.